And welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm Bill Howell, your host here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. As always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. But as always, let's get started with beer news. There will be an Oktoberfest celebration in Valdez on September 20th and 21st. The festival will be held on Galena Drive and will include local food, beer, vendors, and a homebrew contest. Find it on Facebook or Instagram. Tickets for the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, taking place on Saturday, August 13th at the Soldotna Sports Center, are now on sale online. General admission tickets are $50 and connoisseur hour tickets are $75. We will have an interview with organizer Matt Pahala later in this show. This year's Capital Brewfest will be held on Saturday, September 28th in Juneau from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Centennial Hall Convention Center. This is the 12th annual Capital Brewfest, with all proceeds going to the Rotary Club of Juneau. 49th State Brewing will be holding its annual Oktoberfest on Saturday, August 10th at its Denali Park Pub in Healy. It will feature live German music from Alaska Blaskapell, a German food menu, special German-style beer releases, more live music from 40 Ounce to Freedom, Harp Daddy, and a late-night dance party by the legendary DJ Mancat. Tickets are required for the live music portion in the evening, but visiting earlier in the day for German food, snacks, and special beers is free. The event runs from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. and costs $22. On July 9th, Michael Kisser issued an unexpected announcement about the site he founded 15 years ago. The site, Good Beer Hunting, is going on an indefinite hiatus. Good Beer Hunting was a remarkably successful digital magazine. Kisser started it as a blog, but it quickly outgrew that format and became a proper digital magazine, even while Draft, Beer Advocate, All About Beer, and others ceased publication. This represents a real loss to the beer writing community, as there aren't many places left reliably covering beer, either online or in print. On July 11th, the Brewers Association, which is the not-for-profit trade association dedicated to advocating for small and independent craft brewers, announced the retirement of President and CEO Bob Peace. After 32 years with the Brewers Association, Peace will step down in early 2025 once his successor is in place. Quote, "After careful consideration, I believe it is time to help this great association transition to new leadership and for me to move on to new endeavors," reflected Peace. "Over the last three decades, I have witnessed the Brewers Association grow from a small, narrowly focused association to one that is now a power player on important issues facing the industry domestically and internationally. Throughout my time at the helm of the Brewers Association, we have helped our members navigate explosive growth and unprecedented challenges. In doing so, we have put the Brewers Association on the map as a political force, representing this iconic community, its brands, and the incredible people who embody passion in their craft has been an absolute honor. I look forward to seeing continued success in the industry." Peace joined the Brewers Association in 1993 as a customer service manager and worked his way up to operations director. He was promoted to vice president in 1999, chief operating officer in 2010, and CEO in 2014. During his tenure, he turned around and solidified the organization's financial standing from debt servicing to over $23 million in reserves. In 2004, Peace established the association's Export Development Program, building it from the ground up and helping grow the global craft beer revolution for nearly two decades. Since the program's inception, U.S. craft beer exports have increased from approximately 16,000 barrels to over 230,000 barrels, and from $3 million to over $71 million. In 2007, Peace worked with the members of Congress to create the House and Senate Small Brewers Caucus, which has grown to become one of the largest member caucuses in Congress. Peace played a key role in devising and executing the strategy to provide federal excise tax relief to craft brewers through the Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act, which was enacted in 2017 and made permanent in 2020. Among other things, he forged strong relationships with members of Congress and staff on both sides of the aisle, which continues to pay dividends. Researchers at ETH Zurich have developed a gel made from whey protein fibrils that uses individual iron atoms to convert alcohol in the intestine into harmless acetic acid before it enters the bloodstream. They showed that in mice, the gel reduces blood alcohol levels by up to 50% and protects the body from damage. While further tests are necessary before the gel can be used in humans, the researchers are confident that these will be a success and have already applied to patent the gel. That's it for this month's beer news. Up next, we'll have an interview with Matt Pahala, the organizer of the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Hi, this is Otto Kilcher, board member with the Homer Soil and Water Conservation District. Years ago, my family planted chokecherry trees, also known as Mayday trees. That was before they knew they would spread so quickly and crowd out our native trees and plants. They're bad for moose and may also be bad for salmon. We're removing our chokecherry trees. If you have these trees in your property, please consider removing them. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Community Forestry Program, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Chill out and heat up your nights with Glacier Blues, your ultimate blues rock experience on KDLL, the heart of the Kenai Peninsula. Every Monday at 7 p.m., we bring you the icy cool sounds of blues rock legends and rising stars. From the soulful strains of B.B. King to the fiery licks of Johnny Winter, Glacier Blues melts your blues away with every note. Feel the passion, embrace the groove, and let the music take you on a journey. Glacier Blues, only on KDLL 91.9 FM, where the coolest blues rock reigns supreme.
Matt Pahala of the Soldotna Rotary, the organizer of the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. Matt, how are you doing this fine day?
I'm fantastically well, Bill.
Well, hey, how many years does it make now for the festival?
I believe this is year 14.
That sounds about right. Sounds about right. As the Virginia Slims commercial says, you come a long way, baby.
So, exactly.
From that first time. So just in case there's any of our listeners out there that aren't familiar, why don't you go ahead and give them the festival pitch?
I will, yeah. So the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival is going to be Saturday, August 10th. We start out with a connoisseur session from 5 to 6, and then from 6 to 9 is general admission. This year we've got Ellie and the Echoes playing as our opening band, and they're going to be followed by the Blackwater Railroad Company. And this is a fundraiser for the Rotary Club of Soldotna, and we use all of the funds that we generate for our local projects. So
I know I already got my ticket. So tickets are available online. Right.
And, online. Yep. KenaiBeerFest.com. And then also if you come across any of our posters, there's a QR scanner code.
OK. And how many breweries are you roughly expecting this year?
if I did my head count correctly, we've got 21 confirmed, and we have a couple on the fence. You know, with the smaller breweries this time of year, it always depends on how much they have left over at the end of July. So,
cool.
But
cool.
Yeah, for sure, 21, and that does include one of the new meaderies, the one down in Homer, Hive Mind Mead, is going to be there. So,
oh, excellent!
If beer is not your flavor, then we've got a couple of options for you as well.
And food trucks, as always, right?
Yeah. Yeah, food trucks. It's always nice to have some food options available there. And yeah, we're pretty excited about the lineup there this year.
So why don't you explain to folks what's special about the Connoisseur Session, if they're interested in that?
Well, the Connoisseur Session, there's a limited number of tickets, and that first hour is a little more low-key. It's a good opportunity if you're interested in picking the minds of the brewers and having a little bit more of a discussion about their brewing techniques or hops they use, that type of thing. It's a good time to do that, to engage them in conversation. Because once the general admission starts up, they're fast and furious. So that's one of the main things. And then during that first hour, since it's a little more low key, we're not collecting the drink tokens. So, you know, it's just, so you don't have to have a full pour even. You can just get a sample off of each of the taps and a little sip if that's all you want, and find one you like, you can have a little bigger pour. And yeah, like you say, just a little more low-key and more conversational.
And for once you start using tokens, how many tokens are included in the general admission, and what does extra ones go for?
8 tokens is included with the admission, and then I believe it's $3 for a single token, or then 5 for 15.
And everybody gets a sample glass. What's the glass like this year? Is it glass, or is it silicone? What do you guys go with?
We're sticking with glass.
Okay.
And actually we're bringing back the Pilsner glass that we used for the second festival. We found a big store of those in our locker, and it should be enough to cover everyone for the festival. If we do run out of those, then we have some glasses left over from 2022 that people have. So it's not a brand new glass this year. I know that there are some people out there that have the full lineup from year one all the way through, but if that's the case, they'll just have a double. That Pilsner glass is a nice one for carrying around a festival.
Yeah, I remember. It's a nice glass. And what about the People's Choice Award?
Yeah, so the People's Choice Award, we have a local artist that does metalwork. And so we have the two categories for People's Choice. Again, People's Choice Beer and People's Choice Brewery. Last year, we tried out doing it all digitally so we don't have to count paper ballots, and that worked out pretty well, so we're going with that again. So if you do go to the festival, just keep your eye out for there'll be several spots where there'll be a posting of a QR code that'll take you directly into the voting bank, and then it's just a one-time per login, basically. So you can't sit there and vote over and over for your favorite beer.
So you'll be able to vote for people be able to vote for favorite beer and favorite brewery, right?
Favorite beer and favorite brewery. And
cool.
And again, those awards they're really cool. It's a outline of the state of Alaska with some cutouts, artwork, and then it'll of course say the festival and People's Choice. And then what we're going to do is those have been powder coated, so we're going to send it back to the artist who's going to engrave the winning brewery on the on that before we, and then we'll return that to them. And yeah,
excellent.
That'd be good.
Excellent. So finally, let's talk about where the money goes. What are some of the projects that the local Rotary is funding with the proceeds from this?
One of the biggest project that we've been working on for several years is the Kenai Peninsula Peace Crane Garden Trail. That's the Japanese garden that's just down Marydale, a little bit past Sohi. And there's a lot of work going on there. And in the last couple of years, we were able to put in a bronze sandhill crane sculpture and several benches. The trails are in great shape. But this year, we are installing an entrance gate called a Munamon Gate. That's just a pass-through structure with some sidewalls on it. The sidewalls are going to be made out of metal, and that's going to be done by Dragonfly Gallery, Shilling Larson, and Adam Hoyt. And then behind that, we've had a Torii Gate commissioned, and it's ready to go up as soon as we can find a Zoom boom that we can get from a rental place. they're backed up for a few weeks, but those are all going in, should be in by the end of, well, I'm going to give us a little grace and say the end of September. That's the biggest project. And then we have several smaller projects, always some donation and projects ongoing with things like the food bank and the raft fund, which is transportation to and from the hospital for people that that can't afford it for care. And there are all kinds of projects that pop up all the time. So Rotary is pretty busy in the community, as you know.
Well, hey, that sounds like a wonderful project. And I'm going to cross the fingers and hope for really good weather again. I know we've been hit or miss over the years, but we usually manage to make it one way or the other.
You know, there have been a couple years that a monsoon remnant, set up over top of the festival, but seems like even when it's raining, people are having a good time and there's a little bit of sun that pokes out.
Yeah.
It'll be a little interesting this year because of the construction going on at the sports center. The parking lot is going to be a little bit tore up because they're repaving the section that the festival grounds will be on. So if you have extra tufts, I might recommend wearing them.
Okay.
But they said it's all going to be at least, good compacted gravel. So that is one thing to consider this year.
Okay. Well, everybody be advised, wear sturdy shoes.
No high heels this year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I encourage everybody to listen and to at least consider going by a festival. Don't think I've ever missed a year. And it's a great time, and it's for a good cause. Get your tickets now before they sell out.
KenaiBeerFest.com.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. You have a wonderful day, and I'll see you at the festival.
Thanks, Bill.
Watching the bubbles in the beer. A vision of someone who loved me brings a long silent tear to my eye. Oh, I know that my life's been a failure.
No.
Just watching the bubbles in the beer.
I'm gonna play this thing now. I'm seeing the road that I traveled.
It's a road paved with heartaches and tears.
I've been there before, Pete.
And I'm seeing the past that I wasted while watching the bubbles in the beer. As I think of the heart that I've broken and of the golden chances that have passed me by, and the dreams that I made now are empty as the bubbles in my beer. As empty as the bubbles in my beer.
I hear you.
As empty as the bubbles in my beer.
Bubbles, yeah.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Homebrewing beer has a long and rich history in our country. During colonial days, brewing was a basic activity that took place on just about every farm in America. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, all the founding fathers were brewers. Washington not only had a brewery at Mount Vernon, eventually he had a commercial distillery. We even have one of his beer recipes written in his own hand. There's a letter from Thomas Jefferson in which he complains about not being able to bottle his latest batch of homebrew because his friends have not been prompt about returning the empty bottles from a previous batch. When he was president, James Madison thought beer so much healthier for the general public than the very plentiful rum that he proposed creating a national brewery to operate alongside the National Bank. Alaska, too, has a long history of homebrewing and home distilling, dating back many years to well before the Klondike Gold Rush. Legend has it that an army deserter taught the Tlingit how to produce their infamous hoochinoo, or hooch, a sort of homemade rum shortly after Alaska became a U.S. territory. Northern homebrewers, like homebrewers everywhere, experimented with whatever ingredients were locally available. At various times, they used barley, potatoes, Irish moss, champagne yeast, licorice, cinnamon, nutmeg, orange zest, hazelnuts, Epsom salts, honey, molasses, and oatmeal in an attempt to produce something that was both alcoholic and tasty. However, at least for the Stampeders, it seems taste must have been an afterthought. Here's how Tappan Adney describes one homebrewing process in his 1900 book, The Klondike Stampede. Whenever whiskey runs short, the Yukoner falls back upon a villainous decoction made of sourdough, or dough and brown sugar, or sugar alone, and known as hoochinoo, or hooch. The still is made of coal oil cans, the worms of pieces of India rubber boot tops cemented together. The crude still is heated over an ordinary Yukon stove. The liquor obtained is clear white and is flavored with blueberries or dried peaches to suit the taste. It must be very bad, for the manufacturer is forbidden by law. They say it will drive a man crazy. Gold Rush-era hooch must have been formidable indeed. With the growing urbanization and industrialization of the U.S. during the latter part of the 19th century, and the rise of large, nationwide breweries such as Anheuser-Busch, Pabst, and Schlitz, homebrewing became less prevalent. However, the coming of Prohibition in 1921 brought homebrewing back with a vengeance. During the 13 years of Prohibition, brewing beer at home again became a very popular, if illegal, activity. Compared to distilled spirits or even wine, beer was bulky and perishable. It was much easier and more profitable to smuggle in a load of Canadian whiskey than to bring in kegs or bottles of beer. Illegal breweries on a commercial scale could only exist in places like Al Capone's Chicago, which was large enough and corrupt enough to conceal them. In most of the rest of the country, it simply made more economic sense to operate an illicit still and sell bottles of strong spirits than to brew and sell illegal beer. Homebrewed beer in the 1920s was something made to be consumed at home with friends and family, just as it is today. With the end of Prohibition in 1933, homebrewing was again legal, sort of. Due to a typographical error, when the bill to re-legalize the homebrewing of wine and beer was passed, the "and beer" was left out. Because of this typo, the homebrewing of beer remained technically illegal under federal law. and it stayed illegal for another 45 years until a fellow named Charlie Papazian entered the picture. Papazian was a nuclear engineer by training and a home brewing aficionado. In 1978, he read Michael Jackson's book, The World Guide to Beer, describing many exciting beer styles that were brewed overseas but not in the U.S. It inspired him to work to have the home brewing of beer made legal on the federal level. He succeeded in October of 1978. In December of 1978, he founded the American Homebrewers Association and Zymergy magazine. Later, he founded the Great American Beer Festival and the Brewers Association. He wrote one of the most successful books on the brewing your own beer, The Complete Joy of Homebrewing, which introduced countless individuals, including yours truly, to the hobby. Papazian retired on January 23, 2019, his 70th birthday, after 40 years of working to promote both craft beer and homebrewing. He truly earned his nickname as the Johnny Appleseed of homebrewing. By having homebrewing formally legalized, Papazian allowed homebrewers to come out of the shadows and become an organized community. Magazines began to be published and information exchanged. Clubs could formally organize and advertise for new members. Businesses began to create and market products designed specifically for homebrewers, making it easier for newcomers in the hobby to get started. When I first began homebrewing over 30 years ago, both supplies and information were difficult to come by. Many things were passed along by word of mouth or learned through painful trial and error. Today, there is a truly staggering amount of information simply a few mouse clicks away. It's been estimated that today there are over 1 million American homebrewers. There's been a great side benefit to this explosion of American homebrewers. This movement supplied the foot soldiers for the American craft beer revolution, which has happened in the last four decades. The vast majority of craft brewers who set up shop during the 1980s and 90s started out as homebrewers. Even today, homebrewing is still the most prevalent path by which someone becomes a commercial brewer, though the percentages are dropping as more and more schools in the U.S. offer formal brewing science degrees. In many ways, we have homebrewing to thank for the 9,000 American craft breweries of today. After all, when homebrewing was legalized, there were less than 50 breweries of any kind in the entire country. So why homebrew? Well, on that subject, I can only speak for myself. I had several reasons. First, doing something yourself gives you a much greater understanding of the processes involved. My understanding of beer and appreciation for it has certainly been enhanced by my experiences brewing it myself. Second, back in 1989, when I started brewing, we lacked a wide variety of local breweries and styles to choose from. Often, if you wanted to know what a good Belgian Saison or British bitter tasted like, you had only two options: fly to Europe or brew one yourself. In the world in which we now live, many more beers are available, so this is less of a problem. But even today, there are certain rare or commercially extinct styles that you simply can't purchase. Just as it was decades ago, the only way to obtain those beer styles is to make them yourself. While some of the reasons I became a home brewer have been overcome by events, one reason remains just as strong today as it did 30 years ago. Beer has always been a social beverage, best consumed in the company of friends. Sharing your homebrew with other brewers and sampling what they have produced adds a whole new dimension to the experience of consuming beer. I've enjoyed doing so in many different clubs around the country and here in Alaska. It's the reason I founded the Kenai Peninsula Brewing and Tasting Society back in 2010 and the reason I still attend its meetings every month. Beer consumed with friends tastes better. It's as simple as that. So if all this has inspired you to consider becoming a home brewer, I'd strongly encourage you to give it a shot. If you'd like to try before you buy, why not go to a meeting of your local club and check things out? You could well find yourself invited to observe or participate in a member's brew day, which will give you a much better feel for exactly what being a home brewer entails. If you're interested and live on the Central Kenai, we meet at 6:30 p.m. on the first Thursday of every month at the Shriners Hall on West Poppy Lane off K Beach Road. In fact, our next meeting will be this Thursday, August 1st. Why not stop by and check us out? Who knows, you might just get hooked on home brewing like I was. And if not, you'll still get to taste some great beer. Next, we'll have an interview with Paul Wheeler, the owner and brewer at Haynes Brewing Company. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Invasive plants and animals threaten Alaska's waters and can spread to new locations by hitching a ride with you. Help stop aquatic hitchhikers. Clean your boots, boats, and trailer to remove plants, animals, and mud. Drain your bilge, ballast, and buckets before you leave the area. Dry your equipment before using it in a new body of water. Be a good steward. Clean, drain, dry. For more information, visit stopaquatichitchhikers.org. This message is brought to you by the Alaska Invasive Species Partnership and supporters.
We've got Paul Wheeler, the owner slash brewer of Haynes Brewing Company. Paul, how are you doing this fine day, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to talk with us. So, how's everything in Haynes these days?
Well, it is our summer season, so we definitely have a lot of travelers coming through, and it's right approaching the fair. So this is fair weekend coming right up. The Southeast Alaska State Fair runs through the weekend. Kind of help manage their beer garden, so it is sort of busy for us.
Speaking of fairs, how did Hainfest go this year?
It was an awesome event once again. The banquet was just incredible. This year, it truly was a gourmet-style five-course beer banquet. Gourmet, right? One of the courses was gooey duck on English peas and potatoes with a white sauce.
Wow. That sounds good.
I forget the beer that was paired for it, but it went really well. The event itself on the main event, the tasting on Saturday, that was once again a sold-out crowd.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. I know the beer dinner sells out every year, but so the main event sold out too?
Yeah, and we do that connoisseur early, the 1 hour early for a little extra money, and that sold out in 6 hours.
Well, I guess I got to try and make it next year. It's been a while since I've been there. So what's up at the brewery? I haven't talked to you in a while. Have you bought any new equipment? You made any new expansions? Got any new toys to playing with?
We had our 25th celebration this in June during summer solstice. And so we had a pretty fun party. People came up that had something to do with our opening or somebody that may have been an employee in the past. They had come up from Oregon and Idaho area is where a couple of folks had come up especially for that. And we brewed, we just call it the 25 year. It's a kind of a session IPA, so it's lower on the IBU and the alcohol for that. And what was really fun, I had been storing a small oak barrel. It was only 2.5 gallons. And so I made up a blend of our Bigger Hammer barley wine and then the Black Fang Imperial Stout. And stored that for a while, and then just put it up on top of the bar and just gave it away until it ran out. That was a lot of fun. And then we had some friends that came up from Juneau and played some music, and yeah.
You should have laid out a little square on the ground that was just as big as the public area of your old brewery and made everybody stand in that to really get this into the spirit of what it used to be like.
Well, we had a lot of old photos out and showing off what we were and how we got where we are. And so there was a little historical thing that we put out.
So what have you guys got on tap these days?
Yeah, another IPA. We always do a New Zealand-style IPA. So we'll take New Zealand-grown hop and do a one-hop IPA in the New Zealand style. And a New Zealand style is they kind of tend to brew closer to the UK than they do to the US, and which means that they're, once again, they're a little bit lighter in the IBU and a little bit lighter in alcohol. So this particular New Zealand IPA this year is Kohatu. That's the Kohatu hop, and it reaches a 5.4% with a 55 IBU. Got a really nice pineapple fruity character. So that's a lot of fun. That's been going over really well for the lighter IPA drinkers.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that hop. So you say it's like a piney and pineapple, huh?
Well, yeah, the developer calls it crushed pine needle and pineapple. That's their description of it. And so I've never heard of it either, so it was fun to try, and we've had it on tap now for a couple of weeks, and it seems to be going over pretty well.
So what else you guys got on or getting ready to get on?
Ooh, well, there's nothing new coming off the hopper in the near future. We just went through our Dunkelis. That just ran out. We had three lagers on tap, our typical Buster Board lager, and then the dark lager, the Dunkelis, and then the Doppelbock. And that came off real nice this year. And because of our cold winter, we just have a little bit left over of the Eisbock. We actually were able to freeze some of that Doppelbock and turn it into an Eisbock.
Cool.
That's just really nice.
Yeah, you're making me thirsty there, Paul. It's too bad. It's a 1,000-mile drive to get over there to have some
just
beer.
Come on down. Don't forget to turn right in Haines Junction.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Yeah, it's only a 2-day drive each way. So correct me if this isn't so correct, but I remind people that when they visit Haines, don't bring one of their own growlers because you only sell in your growler, right?
Right. Yeah, right. We're pretty particular at what we put our beer in, and so we require that you have to pay $5 deposit, and it is a deposit. We do buy them back of our own growlers that are completely cleaned and sanitary and ready to be poured into.
And the other thing that you guys do that I've always appreciated is you don't pour any flights, right?
We don't pour flights, and we don't give sips.
Yep.
That's just one of the things that, once again, if you're gonna drink a beer, you know, there is a right and a wrong way to doing it, just like everything. You know, you might get away with sipping wine, you might get away with sipping a spirit, that's all good, but you really got to drink a beer.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it boils down to.
I never order less than half a pint.
Well, you shouldn't. And yeah. And even our 5-ounce pours that we do for the weary, we will only pour them one at a time. We don't do the flight because there's just way too many people that will sip a little bit of this and sip a little bit of that and move on to the next. Well, when you do that, it's like taking an artist palette and putting all these little doppets of paint on it, and then take your finger and stirring it all together. And then you're trying to paint this incredible painting with that. Well, what do you get? You just get a blurry mess.
Yeah. The flavors just muddle.
No, they do. And one of the things of only pouring one at a time is you're going to have a little break in between each glass. You know, there's still people there. I mean, we get a lot of travelers, a lot of tourists. They've been to a lot of different breweries, and they've experienced it certain ways, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And so, I watch it all the time when they'll test their friends or their partner's beer by just a little sip, and then they try to judge it with just that little sip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started telling folks when he's like, you know, if you're going to judge my beer, you really need to drink like a judge.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Some people get it right away, and some, you know, they really move on. They don't, you know, they're on vacation, and so what they do when I tell them we don't give them a sip, well, they order a beer.
Yep.
You know, we pour a 12-ounce beer, and they just order a beer, and they have no problem with it. So it's you know, I'm watching my customers, and I want them all to be happy. But in it, people are going to do what they're going to do anyways, and I'm not going to beat them up for it if, you know, they want to do that.
So any chance you might see you guys back up in Anchorage in January?
Yes. You know how the borders have gotten more strict over the years, and they're even more strict today than they were even 5 years ago. And so that's our biggest hassle. I don't mind the drive. I actually love it. It's a really fun drive. But dealing with amount of beer to bring to a festival is really hard. And if I can figure out how to ship it up there and then just take the trip and be there, you know, I'd like to come back. Yeah, you bet.
Well, we sure love to have you, Paul. Because, I said, I always tell folks that I consider yours, in many ways, you're like the quintessential Alaskan brewery. You're brewing this fantastic beer somewhere that almost nobody gets to sample unless they happen to for whatever reason, to be going through Haynes, you know, and you're like, oh, I can get some of Paul's beer. But for, you know, 99.9% of the people, it's like, well, I'm not in Haynes, so I can't have it.
I appreciate the kind words, Bill. Yeah.
So anything else going on that you want to share with folks?
Well, I really am kind of half paying attention to this kettle. It's about to boil over.
Okay.
I'm brewing the Black Fang Imperial Stout right now, if anybody wants to know. But it's halfway through the boil, but it still just wants to jump out and get on the floor for some reason. So they got to just stay on.
We'll let you get back to it. But before you go, one quick question. Besides at the brewery, and I know it's a couple of places around town, are you guys on any accounts down in Juneau, if anybody is down there and they wanted to look for your stuff?
Oh, yeah. We have actually one of my longest accounts is down at the Island Pub in downtown Douglas.
Douglas, okay.
That's really right now our only out-of-town account. And we, you know, Haynes has gone through a cycle of closures and whatever, and we've only got a couple of accounts here in town. So it's nice to have our tasting room and to keep our doors open and...
All right. Well, if any of our listeners out there find themselves in Juneau, get over to the Island Pub in Douglas and check Paul's beer out. And if you're in Haynes, then you're crazy if you don't stop by the brewery.
Right on Main Street.
Yeah. All righty. Hey, Paul, well, good luck with the Black Fang, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. We'll be right back with our next segment.
Clock it out, about to kick off the weekend. There's a stretch of black top, I ain't never seen a cop, so I'm pushing it a little past 10. Pulled a little money from the bank, put it in the tank, shined up the windshield glass. Don't know where the night might lead, ain't nowhere to be, but I gotta get there fast. There's a cold beer calling my name, feel a good time coming, got a new song humming. Doing this thing, feeling lucky as a seven. Yeah, sometimes heaven is a pocket full of payday green. And my baby put a sugar on me. Yeah, it's sure been a pretty damn good day. And there's a cold beer calling my name. Yeah.
Woo. Come on. If there's a hillbilly rock show, I'll be in the front row. Up a red big flame, or wrap around ports with a citronella torch. Yeah, you know I'm down either way. There's a chance that tonight might be the night that way. I ain't ever gonna forget you. Everybody's turning it up. I got a little buzz, and I ain't even had one yet. There's a cold beer calling my name. Feel a good time coming. Got a new song humming, and the sunset's doing. Sometimes heaven is a pocket full of payday green. My baby put sugar on me. Yeah, it's sure been a pretty damn good day. And there's a cold beer calling my name. It's calling my name. Yeah, there's a cold beer calling my name.
As I was going through my list of beer styles to decide which one to cover in this show, I was shocked to realize that in the over 7 years that I have been doing Drinking on the Last Frontier, I have never done a show about one of my absolute favorite styles, the Saison or Farmhouse Ale. That oversight ends today. Saison is the French word for season, as it has been attached to a style of beer originating in Belgium. As far back as the 18th century in Wallonia, the French-speaking region of southern Belgium, these beers were brewed in the winter and conditioned to be ready in time for rising temperatures in May, giving farm laborers something thirst-quenching and fortifying to drink. Before the advent of modern refrigeration and sanitation technology, brewing was something that could only be done in the cooler seasons of the year. The warm summer temperatures made spoilage due to bacterial infections almost a certainty, so brewing was constrained, in some places by law, to the months between October and April. However, if you were a farmer in Wallonia, you would need beer to provide to your farm workers during the hot summer months, when brewing was impossible. What to do? The obvious solution was to brew a beer in the late winter or early spring that would keep through the warm summer months and could be drunk when brewing was impossible. This challenge produced the style of beers we know today as saisons or farmhouse ales. So what factors define the style? Well, alcohol acts as a preservative, so to last several months, saisons needed to be stronger than the everyday brews of the time, which were made to be consumed quickly. However, by today's standards, saisons weren't that strong. Those everyday brews were probably about 3% alcohol by volume. So even at 5%, almost the double the strength of the everyday beer, a traditional saison would not have packed any more of a punch than a typical American lager like Miller or Coors. And when you consider that these beers were meant for farm workers to consume and keep on working, that makes a lot of sense. Secondly, hops are also a preservative, so the beers would have been well hopped, again compared to the everyday brews of the time. Thirdly, in the days before pure yeast cultures, they would likely have been brewed using mixed cultures, including Brettanomyces, which would have helped the beer keep and would have dried it out over the course of its several months in the bottle. Notice that I said in the bottle, as that is how the farmers would have packaged it, in used wine or champagne bottles rather than in the casks used by commercial breweries of the time. One final thing to remember is that each farmhouse brewery would have had its own unique recipe designed by that farmer to meet their individual needs. Farmers would have used whatever ingredients they had on hand. Some saisons might have been light in color, others darker, with rye, wheat, or even spelt in the grain bill. Spices and herbs might have been used or might not. Alcohol strength would have varied along with the level of hoppiness. Some might have been what we today would consider a sour beer due to the mixed cultures used. By the latter part of the 20th century, farmhouse brewing was almost a thing of the past in Belgium. A few breweries still hung on brewing saisons, but the Belgian public was much more interested in drinking mass-produced lagers than funky farmhouse ales. At that moment, the British beer writer Michael Jackson published his book, The Great Beers of Belgium, which introduced the numerous quirky Belgian styles to a world audience, and in particular, American craft beer lovers. Suddenly, Belgian brewers like DuPont were being inundated with demands from importers for its classic Saison DuPont, and the rest is history. Today, both imported and American-made Saisons are not difficult to find. Brewers in Alaska produce them on occasion, though I'm unaware of any that has one as a flagship brew. Here are three to look for. Saison DuPont. Brewed in Belgium since 1844, Saison DuPont is the best-known example of the style and is the pick any beer pro will steer someone new to the category toward. It's 6.5% alcohol by volume with notes of grapefruit and cloves. As I have mentioned in previous shows, this beer is a personal favorite of mine. Easy to find in the bigger liquor stores in Anchorage, but no one is currently carrying it on the Central Peninsula. Boulevard Brewing Company Tank 7. Tank 7 is about as classic a saison gets with an American craft beer. Kansas City's Boulevard Brewing started making it in 2009. At 8.5% alcohol by volume, it packs a kick of citrus and spice. It has just returned to the shelves of Country Liquor in Kenai. Omegang Brewery's Hennepin Belgian-style farmhouse saison. Brewed in Cooperstown, New York, and named for the discoverer of the Niagara Falls, Hennepin is a neck-and-neck race with Tank 7 for the title of Best American-Made Saison. This brew is artfully spiced with coriander, ginger, orange peel, and grains of paradise, and its champagne-like effervescence leads to a crisp, dry finish. 7.7% alcohol by volume. Easier to find at Anchorage, it's been known to appear in liquor stores on the Kenai on occasion. Finally, a word about pairing saisons with food. In my opinion, saisons represent the Swiss Army knife of pairing beer with food. I mean, this beer works with just about everything. I have yet to find a food that a saison like any of these three I mentioned does not pair well with. For everything from Thai to goat cheese, a saison makes an excellent match. In fact, during the holidays, if I find myself heading to a party and I'm not sure what will be on the menu, I always bring along a large bottle of Saison DuPont. Popping the cork makes a wonderful presentation, and it's guaranteed to pair well with whatever food is on offer. So if you've not tasted a Saison yet, I strongly encourage you to hunt one up and give it a try.
Tune in on Sundays from 7 to 9, where I, Josie Oliva, will be your host for Pickled Beats, a radio show that explores obscure subgenres and oddly specific themes, right here on Pickle Hill Radio, KDLL.
One of the things I'm most frequently asked when I bump into a listener out in the world is, "What are you drinking these days?" That's given me an idea for this new segment, What's Bill Drinking Now? I hope you enjoy it. First up this month, an excellent brewery has returned to our local shelves, Boulevard Brewing Company of Kansas City. We've had its brews available in Alaska in the past, but they haven't been on the shelves for several years. Locally, I spotted two Boulevard beers at Country Liquors in Kenai. It's Tank 7 American Saison Ale and it's Whiskey Barrel Stout. Note, among the other excellent beers from Boulevard, I'm particularly partial to the Six Glass Quadruple Ale, but these two apparently are the only ones currently available in Alaska. So let's talk Tank 7. Checking my records, I can see that I first tasted this beer on September 26, 2010, and I've had it many times since. It impressed me then, and it still does so today. I consider it to be one of the best saisons brewed by an American brewery, and it comes extremely close to matching the best of the Belgian originals, Saison DuPont. It's a hefty 8.5% alcohol by volume with 38 IBUs of bitterness. It's effervescent with a big white head and excellent carbonation. It's quite refreshing, making it the perfect summer beer, and it pairs well with just about any food you care to match it with. If you like saisons, this beer is not to be missed. The second brew on offer from Boulevard is its Whiskey Barrel Stout. This beer was one I had not tasted before, but given Boulevard's reputation, I was more than willing to give it a shot, and it did not disappoint. It poured dark as midnight into the glass with a small head. The barrel aging was noticeable in the aroma, but not overwhelming. For me, the key to a good barrel-aged beer is balance. That is, don't overdo the whiskey flavor. I want them to taste like beer with whiskey notes, not whiskey with beer notes. Boulevard's version is a blend of one-third fresh beer with two-thirds aged in whiskey casks for about a year. I picked up notes of vanilla, espresso, coffee, chocolate, whiskey, and roasted grain, balanced out by hints of date and plum, with just enough hops to round it all out. It weighs in at 11.8% alcohol by volume and 32 IBUs. If you enjoy barrel-aged stouts, a four-pack of this is right up your alley. Speaking of stouts, another excellent offering in that regard is also available at Country Liquors, North Coast Brewing Company's Old Rasputin Imperial Stout. It's long been available in 12-ounce bottles, but now it's also available in 16-ounce cans. It's an excellent example of the style and has won numerous gold medals and awards since 1996. Added bonus, if you find yourself in Seward, the Seward Ale House keeps it on draft. I try to keep a can or two in my fridge for when I'm in the mood for something dark and dangerous. Looking further afield, I was in Anchorage last week, so I stopped in La Bodega on Benson Avenue. Hopefully it comes as no surprise to any of my listeners that I consider La Bodega to be the premier bottle shop in Alaska. That's why I stop in anytime I'm in Anchorage. I picked up several interesting brews, most of which I haven't tasted yet, so we'll talk about them next month. But I did want to mention a couple this month. First, Saison DuPont was available in four packs of 16-ounce cans. Anyone who's listened to this show probably knows how much I love Saison DuPont. It's in my Desert Island six-pack, after all. While I love popping the cork on a 750 milliliter bottle when I'm dining with friends, that much beer is usually a bit much for me to consume alone, and the corked 11-ounce bottles just seem overly pricey at almost $5 each. The cans sell for not much more than the bottles, but you get 50% more beer for your money. Plus, they keep exceptionally well. Saison DuPont is another beer that I find I really want to always have on hand, as it's so refreshing and pairs so well with almost any food. At La Bodega, I picked up a single bottle of Anchorage Brewing Company's The Nectar, a saison brewed with honey and two different proprietary strains of Brettanomyces and then aged on oak. This beer has been around for about 7 years, but I had not had it in a while, and not from the new 375 milliliter bottles that Anchorage Brewing favors these days. As with just about everything that comes from the brewing mind of Gabe Fletcher, it was excellent. Very dry, yet with hints of sweetness from the honey and notes of funk from the Brettanomyces. My only complaint about it is the same one that I have with all Anchorage Brewing's beers. They are so expensive, I can seldom bring myself to buy more than a single bottle. I realize that Gabe's beers are in demand all over the world, making the high prices they command justified, but unfortunately, my personal budget just won't stretch to buying them very often. If yours will and you like a Brett Saison, the Nectar is a fine example. Well, that's it for this month. I hope you enjoyed the show. This month's closing thought is from that greatest of American philosophers, W.C. Fields, who said, "Beer may not solve your problems, but neither will water or milk." Until next month, cheers.
Hello, this is John Jackson, host and producer of Deeper Cuts Radio. Deeper Cuts features an artist, band, or topic. We play great music not often heard, mixing and mingling genre and era, creating a unique playlist for your listening pleasure. Tune in Fridays at 9 p.m. on KDLL 91.9 FM in beautiful Kenai, Alaska. Enjoy.